my life in Christ, starting from page 270. As a passionate man is one spirit with the devil, and this I and many others feel and experience, so a virtuous man is and remains one spirit with the Lord, and this he feels and experiences, saying, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. Or, as it has been said by the Lord himself, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. St. John 6:56. Or again, as the apostle said, Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? 2 Corinthians 13:5. Thus, God's saints are one spirit with the Lord. Likewise, all those who live piously upon the earth. This is a great mystery and a great honor for the earth-born creatures. But also, what shame and destruction it is to the sophistical and disobedient. They are one spirit with the devil, from whom Christ our God delivered us all. In the truth of something has been revealed in the Word of God, has been investigated and expanded to us by the divinely enlightened mind of the saints, whom God has glorified and has been recognized by the heart in its light and life-giving effect. Then it is a great sin and diabolical pride of the intellect and heart to doubt it and to be perplexed about it. I myself am every moment a debtor to the Lord, both spiritually and bodily, spiritually through my sins and bodily through freely receiving his material gifts, food, drink, money, clothing, air, warmth, light, and in general the various comforts of life. How then can it be otherwise than a happiness to me to forgive the debts of my neighbors, both spiritual and material, when the Lord forgives me the innumerable multitude of my own debts? How can I do otherwise than freely give the gifts that belong to the Lord when the Lord freely bestows upon me innumerable spiritual and material blessings? The light of the intellect and heart, peace and joy to the heart, a variety of knowledge and everything else, down to the currents of air. It would be monstrous to do otherwise. We are all one body and members one of another, and are absolutely mutually indebted for something, as in the social body, it is impossible to avoid others being indebted to us, or our being indebted to others. And it is impossible for us not to forgive each other debts, as in the body, same members naturally often give at the expense of the others, for instance, the stomach at the expense of the head, or the hands and the feet, so it is also amongst men. But the chief thing is to remember that we receive everything freely from God, and that we are indebted to him infinitely much, and that he lovingly forgives us our trespasses on condition that we forgive them that trespass against us. And let us therefore willingly and heartily forgive our neighbors their trespasses against us. Let us daily offer this sacrifice unto God and live in love. Let us renounce self-will and the tremors of passions and entirely submit to the will of God. We are the image of God, and God is love. 1 John 4, 8-16. Let us therefore live in love. Let us strive for love with all our might. Lord, help us, but let us count everything earthly, food, dress, money, as dross, and do not let us anger God through this dross by bearing ill will or enmity against each other. It is possible, is it possible that we should sell our Lord for food or money? One thing only, either God or the flesh. We cannot acknowledge two gods. We cannot serve two. The flesh dictates its own laws to us entirely opposite to the laws of God. Gluttony, intemperance, trust in food, drink, money, avarice, or grudging God's gifts to our neighbor, ill will to our neighbor through food, drink, money, contempt for him through the same hard-heartedness towards his misfortunes, and so on. What must we do, then, in order not to serve God hypocritically? We must crucify the flesh with its passions and lusts, counting it as nothing, and everything that it values much, that it loves, pleasures, dress, money, houses, carriages, likewise as nothing, as dross, corruption, earth, as indeed they really are. But love, count love as the most precious thing in life, sacrificing everything to it, submitting everything to it, and neglecting everything for it. Everyone must know and believe that there is a spiritual deadly serpent called the devil or Satan, condemned by the Creator to everlasting torments, that can lead away into everlasting torment those who do not believe, are unrighteous and impenitent. Everyone must know and believe that the Savior was sent from God into the world in order to save men from the deadly shafts of this serpent, that is, from the sin and everlasting death, and that this Savior bestows upon all his saving, healing remedies against the bites of this serpent, faith, penitence, and the holy mysteries of his body and blood. There are many drops of rain, but all proceed from a single cloud. There are many rays of the sun, but all proceed from one sun. There are many leaves on a tree, but all are produced by a single tree. There are many grains of sand upon the earth, but they are all from the same earth, one same earth. There are many, also many men, but they are all of them derived from origin from the one same Adam, and before all from God. For what purpose does the Lord add day after day, year after year to our existence? In order that we may gradually put away, cast aside evil from our souls, each one his own, and acquire blessed simplicity, in order that we may become, for instance, gentle as lambs, simple as infants, in order that we may learn not to have the least attachment to earthly things, but like loving, simple children, may cling with all our hearts to God alone, and love him with all our hearts, all our souls, all our strength, and all our thoughts, and our neighbor as ourselves. Let us hasten, therefore, to pray to the Lord fervently and tearfully to grant us simplicity of heart, and let us strive by every means to cast out the evil from our souls, for instance, evil suspiciousness, malevolence, malignity, malice, pride, arrogance, boastfulness, scornfulness, impatience, despondency, despair, irritability and irritability, fearfulness and faint-heartedness, envy, avarice, gluttony and satiety, fornication, mental and of the heart, and actual fornication, the love of money, and in general the passion for acquisition, slothfulness, disobedience, and all the dark hordes of sins, Lord, without thee we can do nothing. Bless us thyself in this work and give us the victory over our enemies and our passions, so be it. Let us put away from us our spiritual short-sightedness and let us cease concentrating all our attention upon temporal earthly things. Let us foresee with our mental vision the future everlasting life and rise in our hearts to our heavenly country. Indeed, it is wonderful short-sightedness for the immortal soul only to look upon the present. Indeed, it is wonderful short-sightedness for the immortal soul only to look upon the present, visible things generally relating to senses and flattering our carnal nature, and not contemplate the life of the world to come, the blessings which eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, but which the most merciful and most wise God has prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But what do we not deprive ourselves through this voluntary short-sightedness? Like flies, we adhere to earthly sweets and do not wish to rise up, to tear ourselves away from them. Blessed is he who despises the joys of this world. There shall he be no end to his bliss. As in the earthly life there are poor and rich, so also in the spiritual life. In the spiritual order there are also poor and rich. As the poor ask charity of the rich and well-to-do and cannot live without their help, so also in the spiritual order the poor must have recourse to the spiritually rich. We are the spiritually poor, whilst the saints, or those who shine over in this present life, ever in this present life, by their faith and piety, are the spiritually rich. It is to them that we needy ones must have recourse. We must beg for their prayers, that they may help us to become simple as infants, that they may teach us spiritual wisdom, how to conquer sins, how to love God and our neighbor, and therefore pray for me, saints of God, prophets, apostles, martyrs, prelates, venerable and righteous men, that I may become like unto you. When you pray to the Lord, represent to yourself vividly to whom you are praying. You are praying to the unoriginated, endless King of all creation, creatures, to the all-holy, all-merciful, almighty, most wise, omnipresent, all-righteous God, whom millions and millions of angels of various orders revere, whom the armies of martyrs, the companies of prophets and apostles, the assemblies of prelates, venerable and righteous men praise. When you pray to the Holy Virgin, Our Lady, also represent to yourself her greatness, mercy, wisdom, her helpfulness to all, and the humble worship rendered unto her by the assemblies of angels and men. We must constantly bear in remembrance and strive to live in accordance with the mystery of our redemption by Christ, his sufferings, his death on the cross, and his resurrection and ascension, and his second coming. We must honor above all the holiness of the Mother of God as the living ark and temple of the Godhead, and ask her after the Lord himself for cleansing and holiness and steadfastness in faith and love. Avoid flattery, audacity, and taking the law into your own hands. Our soul has a passion for doing this when others do something differently to what we would like them to do, or do not do what we would like them to do. Bear this with this. Think how it would be if others revenged themselves upon you immediately after you had done something not in accordance to their will, or after you had not fulfilled that which you might and ought to have done, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. St. Luke 6:31. Or keep to the rule, we forgive them that trespass against us. Man is duty personified. We must here remember that our heart is extremely capricious, evil, and foolish. Sometimes we take a violent dislike to a person without any cause or reason, and nourish malice in our heart against him, and are ready to offend him without any cause. We must despise the natural and unjust malice of the heart, and pray to God to drive away from our heart the stench of the abyss of hell. Let us remember what we were commanded. These things I command you, that ye love one another. St. John 15:17. The life of the heart is love, whilst malice and enmity against our brother are its death. The Lord keeps us on the earth in order that love for God and our neighbor may wholly penetrate our heart. This is what he expects from us all. This is indeed the purpose of the world's standing. My daily greatest misfortune is my sins, wounding and gnawing at my heart. But against this misfortune there is also a daily greatest deliverer and savior, Jesus Christ. He daily benefits me invisibly, bountifully. Poor sinners, learn to know this Savior as I know him, by his grace, by his gifts. You are angry with your neighbor, your brother, and say to him, of him, he is such and such, a miser, malicious, proud, or that he has done this and that and so on. What is that to you? He sins against God and not against you. God is his judge, not you. Unto God he shall answer for himself, not to you. Know yourself how sinful you are yourself. What a beam you have in your own eye. How difficult it is for you to master and to get the better of your own sins. How afflicted you yourself are by them. How they have ensnared you. How you wish for indulgence from others towards your own infirmities. And your brother is a man like you. Therefore, you must be indulgent to him as to a sinful man, similar in everything to yourself, as infirm as you. Love him then as yourself, listening to the Lord saying, those things I command you, that ye love one another. And as you pray for yourself, that the Lord may help you to root out your own cruel and incurable passions, so pray also for your brother, that the Lord may free him from the flattery and corruption of his passions, from their darkness and oppression. We must remember that we are one sinful body, more or less infected in our members by the breathing of the common enemy, the devil, and that of ourselves, without God's grace, we are powerless to free ourselves from this deadly and darkening breathing. Only the Holy Spirit, by his breathing, can drive away this demonical darkness of the passions through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ suffering upon the cross. We must therefore humbly pray to the Lord in the spirit of brotherly love for all brethren and for all people, that they may escape from the darkness of the passions and their great attractiveness in which they delight, not knowing their destructiveness. For instance, the rich man rejoices in his wealth, the ambitious one in his distinctions, the glutton in his food, drink, and dainties, the malicious in his malice, the envious in the suffering of the victim of his enemy, and so on. As the Lord hears every word of the prayer, God have mercy upon me, and fulfills every word, this is from experience. If only we speak from the depth of our heart, so likewise he hears and fulfills all the words of other prayers, even our own particular sincere prayer. O Lord, who can so graciously hear us? Glory to thee. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. St. Matthew 7:8. Only pray in the simplicity of your heart, and without doubting. By striking our bodily structure with sickness, the Lord crushes the old sinful carnal man in order to give strength to the new man, whom we have weakened by the works of the flesh, gluttony, slothfulness, amusements, and manifold sinful attachments and passions. For when I am weak, then I am strong. 2 Corinthians 12 chapter 10th verse. Therefore, we must accept every malady with gratitude. God's saints are great through their spiritual disposition, through their faith, their firm trust in God, and their burning love to God, for whose sake they despised all earthly things. Oh, how now we are compared to them, how unlike unto them. They are great by their great deeds of abstinence, vigilance, fasting, unceasing prayers, their diligence in studying the word of God and in pious meditations. Oh, how unlike we are to them, how deeply we must venerate them, with what reverence we must ask for their prayers for us, but in no case must we regard them lightly, irreverently, remembering their goodness and their union with the Godhead. I thank thee, my Lord, my Master, and my Judge, for teaching me how to pray simply to thee, for hearing my calling upon thee, for saving me from my sins and sorrows, and for rightly directing my ways. I called upon thee in the sin of my wickedness, and in the words of the church prayer, O Lord our God, who grantest forgiveness unto men through repentance. And as soon as I finished this prayer, peace and lightness established themselves in my soul. 29th of June, 1864. Do not listen to the calumnies of the enemies against your neighbor, his abominations, his various wickedness, and his pride. Look upon everybody simply, respectfully, as upon the image of God, and do not think any evil of him without reason. When you are praying, either inwardly only, or both inwardly and outwardly, be firmly convinced that Lord is there by you and within you, and hears every word, even if you only said to yourself, even when you only pray mentally. Speak from your whole heart sincerely. Judge yourself likewise sincerely, without in the least justifying yourself. Have faith that the Lord will have mercy upon you, and you will not remain unforgiven. This is true. It is taken from experience. You are angry with your neighbor. You despise him. Do not like to speak peacefully and lovingly to him, because there is something harsh, abrupt, careless, unpleasant to you in his character, in his speech, in his manners, because he is more conscious of his dignity than perhaps is necessary, or because he may be somewhat proud and disrespectful. But you yourself, your neighbor's physician and teacher, are more guilty than him. Physician, heal thyself. St. Luke 4:23. Teacher, teach yourself. Your own malice is the bitterest of all evils. It is then possible to correct? Is it then possible to correct malice by means of evil? having a beam in your own eye, can you put out the mote from the eye of another? Evil and faults are corrected by good, by love, kindness, meekness, humility, and patience. Acknowledge yourself as the greatest of sinners, of those who appear to you to be sinners or are sinners, in reality consider yourself worse and lower than all. Rest out every pride and malice against your neighbor, all impatience and fury, and only then try to cure others. Until then, cover the sins of others with your indulgent love. What would it be if everyone were to notice all their neighbor's iniquities? Eternal animosity and discord, for who is without sin? And therefore, we are commanded to forgive all those who trespass against us. For if the Lord will be extreme to mark our iniquities, who of us may be able before his, who of us may abide before his justice? For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We stand before the altar of love in presence of incarnate love itself, but we have no love to each other. How strange it is, and we do not even care about this, but love will not come of itself without our zeal, effort, and activity. Lover of men, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, I thank thee from all my heart for having heard my prayer to love my neighbor and to despise earthly things, and for having poured into my heart peaceful, reasonable, and sweet love. Strengthen these in me, O Lord, through the prayers of our most pure Lady, thy mother, and may I be thy child, O Lord, and her truest child. 26 July 1864, 11 o'clock evening. Oh, how beautiful, how precious a creature is man. Oh, what a most graceful and splendid palm tree is man. Oh, man is the best of God's creatures, or most honorable of God's creatures, that ought, as an image of God, as the justly reverent temple of God himself, to be inviolable to anything impure. May all the impure, evil, blasphemous thoughts, as well as all doubting thoughts, flee from us. We are the children of God. We are holy in Christ. Let us keep, let us preserve our hearts in holiness, so that the hand of the impure and evil spirits may not in any way touch us, the living arks of God, our thoughts and hearts. Word of God and God thyself, who was incarnate for our sake, preserve us in thy holiness, O most holy head. Deliver not our hearts and bodies to the impure Satan. Let him not sully them by evil thoughts, but ever dwell with us and keep us pure and spotless. Grant, Lord, that as members of thy body we may ever have living union with thee, our most divine head, union in thoughts of our hearts, in our prayers, and in our deeds. The falling away of our hearts from thee is darkness and death, sorrow and straitness, shame, humiliation, and the spiritual abomination, whilst with thee we find light, life, peace, joy, wideness of heart, boldness, greatness, and holiness. You know that the eternal life in God is promised to you, that you must earn it by obedience to God and his church during this transitory life, by patience in sickness, sorrows, misfortunes, and various privations. And yet you do not wish to obey the Creator. You live in carelessness and neglect of your souls, in neglect of virtue, and continual sin. What can you expect after this ungrateful, evil-natured, and disobedient creatures? My soul, think and direct all your earthly life to the glory of God and the good of your neighbor. Do not gratify flesh and blood, but seek to please your Lord. For flesh and blood are perishable, like all earthly things. Why be suspicious where there should be no suspicion? For instance, during reading and listening to the word of God, or during the reading and singing in church, during the prayers, etc. God is truth, and that is enough. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. The devil is falsehood itself, the calumniator, the adversary, and that is enough. No, the one God and his truth. Shun the devil and his lies, illusions and follies. The demons tremble in the sight and even at the sign of the life-giving cross, because the Son of God was nailed unto the wood of the cross and sanctified it by his sufferings upon it. How much more do the demons tremble before Our Lady, the Mother of God, and even at her most holy name? Our Lady is like the brightest star. She is all radiant with the light in God. She is like the glowing ember in a large fire, all luminous and full of fire. As it is easy to think that He, God, is light and holiness, so it is she too is eternal light and eternal holiness. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, Hebrews 13:8. And likewise, God's truth, everything that is read in the Gospel, in the Holy Scriptures, the church prayers, the canons, the acapistus, the Psalms, is the one same eternal truth. It is the same now and when you first found it, or when you prayed with a fervent heart and felt its full verity, its sweetness, peace, and life-giving effect. You change and place yourself in various relations to it, but the truth itself remains forever the same, the eternal, enlightening, warning, and life-giving Son. How long would it be before the holy mysteries of which we partake remind us that we, who are many, are one body? And how long will there be no mutual hearty union before us as members of the single body of Christ? How long shall we make our own laws of life, be inimical to each other, envy each other, torment, grieve, fret, judge, and abuse each other? When will the Spirit of Christ abide in us, the Spirit of meekness, humility, kindness, love, unfaded, self-denial, patience, chastity, abstinence, simplicity, and sincerity, contempt for earthly things, and entire aspiration after heavenly ones? Lord Jesus Christ, enlighten our spiritual vision, and let thy loving Spirit lead us all into the land of righteousness. Give us thy Spirit. The Lord is everything to us all, for we cannot do anything of ourselves, for ourselves. He is the giver of all powers, all blessing, and everything necessary for our welfare. Let us cast all our sorrows, cares, and anxiety upon the Lord. During prayers, be like a lisping infant, mingling your spirit in one with the spirit of the prayers you are pronouncing. Count yourself as nothing, and accept the prayer as a great gift of God. Renounce your own carnal wisdom, and do not listen to it, for carnal knowledge puffs up. It doubts, imagines, blasphemes, If during prayer or at any other time the enemy hinders your soul by any kind of blasphemy or abominations, do not become despondent in consequence of them, but say firmly in your heart, it was for the cleansing from these and the like sins that our Lord Jesus Christ came upon earth. It was to heal those and other like infirmities of spirit that the Most Merciful came to help us. And if you say these words with faith, your heart will be immediately at rest, for the Lord will cleanse your heart. In general, you must not fall into despondency through any sin or evil imagination, but trust in the Savior, O boundless mercy and compassion of God, O most great service of God-man to us sinners, and even until now he serves us in his love for men, cleansing and saving us, and therefore let the dominion of the enemy be covered with shame. By praising your pious neighbor, you praise God. By doing good to your neighbor, you do good to yourself, for we are one body. By doing good to your neighbor, you make God your debtor. For your neighbor is the image of God, and God is everything in all. By doing good to a Christian, you make Christ, the Son of God, your debtor, for Christians are his body, his members. By lending to a Christian, you lend to the Holy Spirit, for the Christians are the temples of the Holy Ghost. Know ye not that ye are temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16. God created man after his own image and likeness. This is an infinitely great gift. But man, a reasonably free creature, became ungrateful to his Creator, offended him by his perfidy and faithlessness, by his pride. He wished to become equal to his Creator and went against him. Every sin is a war against God. But, O infinite gift of God's love to men, when we had fallen so low by having sinned against the Creator, when we had fallen from life into death by turning away from God our life, when we had corrupted ourselves by sins, and when everlasting death threatened us, God sent upon earth the Redeemer of the world, his own only begotten Son, in flesh like unto ours, to suffer for our offenses and thus cleanse us from sins, through repentance and faith in him, and bring us again to his Father, from whom we had fallen away. Let us value this, God's perfect benefit to us, and let us not neglect so great salvation. Let us constantly remember our sinful corruption and the means of grace offered by the Church for regeneration. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Are we new or the same as of old, with the same sins as before? The Mother of God is one flesh and blood and one spirit with the Savior as his mother. So infinitely great was her merit by the grace of God that she became the mother of God himself, giving him most pure and most sacred flesh, nourishing him with her milk, carrying him in her arms, clothing him, caring in every way for him in his infancy, kissing him over and over again and caressing him. O Lord, who can describe the greatness of the God-bearing Virgin? Every tongue is in the doubt how to worthily praise thee. Even the angelic mind itself wonders how to hymn thee, Mother of God. Irmos from the canon at Christmas, we must call upon her with one thought and simple impulse of the heart. She is one with God, like the saints. Know and remember that the matter of your salvation is always near to the heart of Our Lady, the Mother of God. For it was for this that the Son of God, by the favor of the Father and the cooperation of the Holy Spirit, chose her out of all generations and was incarnate of her in order to save the human race from sin and curse and the eternal death or everlasting torments. As the matter of our salvation is near to the Savior, so likewise it is near to her. Turn to her with full faith, trust, and love. Christ, the Son of God, the Most Holy God, is not ashamed to call us sinners brethren. Hebrews 2:11. Therefore, do not at least be ashamed to call brothers and sisters poor, obscure, simple people, whether they be your relatives according to the flesh or not. Do not be proud of your intercourse with them. Do not despise them, for we are all actually brothers in Christ. We were all born of water and the Spirit in the baptism of John and became children of God. We are all called Christians. We're all nourished by the body and blood of the Son of God, the Savior of the world. The sacraments of the Church are celebrated over all of us. We all pray the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, and all of us equally call God Our Father. We do not know any other relationship besides the spiritual, the highest, the eternal relationship which was given to us by Lord of our life, the Creator and the Regenerator of our nature, Jesus Christ. For this relationship is alone true, holy, lasting, whilst earthly relationship is untrue, changeable, inconstant, transitory, corruptible, as our flesh and blood are corruptible. And therefore, be simple in your intercourse with your fellow men, as an equal with equals, and do not exalt yourself above anyone, but on the contrary, humble yourself. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Do not say, I am educated and he or she is not. He or she is a simple, uneducated peasant. The gift of God is given to you, an unworthy one. Do not turn it into occasion for pride, but into occasion of humility. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Do not say, I am of noble birth, and he is of low birth, earthly nobility, without the nobility of faith and virtue, is an idle name. What is there in my nobility, when I am as much a sinner as others, or perhaps even worse? And we must love our neighbor, not in our way, but in God's way, that it is not according to our will, but in accordance with the will of God. Our will is only to love those who love us, and to despise, hate, and persecute our enemies, or those who are displeasing to us from some reason or another. But God desires that we should love those still more, because they are sick, so that we ourselves, being also sick with self-love, scorn, and malice, should cure ourselves by love and humility, applying the same all-healing plaster also to the wounds of their hearts. In curing the spiritual maladies of others, we must not in any case be arrogant, nor bear malice, nor become angry and get out of temper, nor think of our own advantage instead of our neighbors, and serve our own self-love and in general our own passions. Charity is not provoked by the thoughtless or arrogant behavior of its neighbor, but suffereth long and is kind. Wanteth not itself, is not puffed up, thinketh no evil. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, 5, does not take account of every word and screens everything. Yes, this is right, for what you screen by indulgence often easily passes away of itself. And therefore, he who strives to cure others must himself be in good health, so that he may not be told, physician, heal thyself. St. Luke 4:23. If the man whom you strive to heal notices that you yourself are evil, angry, and do not love him, then he will inwardly despise and hate you, and you will not produce any effect upon him by anything, for evil is not amended by evil, but by good. Overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. First root out in yourself that which you wish to root out in others. Glory be to God. Thank you.